What's up, guys? Major unlock for Hedera and multisig coming to Algorand. Also, is Komoda coming back? We're going to look at all that on today's Frugal BC. Welcome to the show. Hope everyone's doing well out there. We are live on YouTube and X. We are not live on Kick and Twitch because I had a problem with them this morning. And frankly, I barely get any views over there anyway. So not really super concerned about it. We'll just miss it today. Yeah, every once in a while, it doesn't give me any indication until I try to go live that there's a problem, which is really irritating because that means you get to solve problems at the last minute. But welcome to live streaming. That's how it works. We are really bright, unusually bright. Hold on a second. You know, it's kind of funny because I don't really change the settings from week to week. I have them like complete. I have everything completely the same, and for some reason it's really bright this morning. And boy, you guys are really quiet, so hopefully we'll get some chatter coming in. Some very interesting stuff. Big surprise in the Algorand space. I hope my Hedera segment works because I think I might have screwed something up on the bookmarks this morning. I went to look for them and some of them were misplaced, so forgive me for that. But should have an interesting show anyway. Interesting stuff on Hedera and Algorand today. I don't have a third segment, so we'll just get through those and probably call it a day. But let me know how you're doing in the chat. Let us know where you're from. Always a fun thing. And what are you watching today? Well, we're watching the markets because they're starting to turn green again, which is nice. Same thing with the S&P. In fact, I'm going to look that up right now because had a big crash. You know, those are usually opportunities. I think a lot of people don't take advantage of some of these opportunities. Yeah, up 0.5% today already. Down on the 5-day, down on the month. Still down year to date too. Yoblock says, bro, are you with HBAR now, no longer with Algorand? Well, I'm not with any cryptocurrency, just to be clear. Wow, my metrics just went to zero. Are we still up? I hope so. Hopefully I'm not just streaming into the void as they speak. It's very strange. My analytics just all of a sudden dropped off. It is not showing any viewers or anything. No, that's a good question. I have been a holder of both for a long time, and I've actually made content around Algorand and HBAR both for quite some time, Algorand longer than HBAR. But for a long time, there wasn't a lot of news to cover in HBAR, and that has changed. Boy, that's really frustrating, just showing a big blank. There's just been a ton more news to cover in HBAR than there used to be. Some weeks, it seems like there's bigger news in HBAR than Algorand. In fact, that's been the case for a while. And certainly one thing I will say, Algorand has vastly outperformed. I'm sorry, HBAR has vastly outperformed Algorand. It's held its price much, much better. It's actually sitting at, well, we could look at that on the charts today when we look. Yoblock says, I mean, you are more engaged with HBAR now. When I was all in with Algorand, I always see you with Algo. Yeah. Like I said, there was a ton more news there for a while. You know, I'd say if you look back 2 years ago, there was tons of news to cover on Algorand, and there just really wasn't much to cover at all on HBAR. And I think that's kind of flipped. I see actually a lot more news to cover on HBAR than Algorand, but I've been a holder for a long time of both. And I have to say, I think the price has held up better on HBAR. I'm still 2x from my average buys. If I was buying 2 years ago on Algorand, I'd kind of be back to where I was, you know? HBAR surpassed Algo. Yeah, a 50 billion supply coin shouldn't really surpass a 10 billion supply coin, and yet here we are. So, and GM to green blue. Oh, analytics are back up, so that's cool. I can see we got some viewers. Excellent. And got the chat going again, which is cool. Well, we can chat. We're going to go into the prices because everything is looking green this morning. Let's see. Here we go. Total market cap sitting under 2.5 trillion, 2.42 And as I do every time, I have to put that in, you have to put that in perspective. That is smaller than the, that's about maybe 20% of the total retail, total residential real estate market in the U.S. So just to put that number, that's all of crypto. Also, there are individual companies like NVIDIA that are far higher than that. There's quite a few that are higher than that. So just to put it in perspective of where we are with crypto, it's a big deal, but it's not as big deal as people thought. Coin market cap of 3.23%, actually outperforming the total market cap and looking close to, you know, Bitcoin's price too. Yoblox says, what do you think about the supply of HBAR? Do you think it will skyrocket once the supply gets released completely? A lot of people think that, and a lot more depends on the demand. You know, some stuff like Ethereum, like the price isn't capped at all, and yet the price is very high compared to other coins. It's had more time to grow, but also I think people way over index on supply caps. The only reason I say that Algorand would be mistaken in uncapping supply is that because people put a lot of weight on it. And I think a lot of people will leave Algorand if it uncaps its supply. But I don't think that cap supply necessarily means that it will do well. So, you know, be careful with that. There's a lot of other factors, you know. The biggest, the correlation that I've seen is revenue, which we're going to kind of get to with Hedera. Some interesting news around its TPS that I didn't cover before. Oh, look, my analytics are blank again. And I was not able to dual stream. I haven't heard anybody chime in to say that they were watching on Vertical. But there's a little tab, there's a little button you press in YouTube analytics. And sometimes it doesn't let you press it. I think you have to do it in a certain amount of time, maybe. Not really sure what the deal is there. But it just simply would not let me do it this morning. So we'll see. We'll see if that has an effect on the stream. Anyway, Bitcoin at 71,000. So, you know, not a bad price for Bitcoin at this point. Ethereum is sitting at 2,000, over 2,000, all close to 2,100. BNB at 647, XRP at $1.42. It's been kind of sitting at that range for a while. Solana at 87. Definitely not the lowest we've seen it. It'd be nice to see that get back into the 90s, unless you're interested in buying Tron 28. Doge almost 10 cents a piece, and Cardano at 20, just under 27 cents. Let's see what the big winners are for the 24-hour. Shiba Inu, 10.6%. I'll have to check my little moon bag of Shiba Inu that I have. Stellar at 8.73. It's a blast from the past. Dogecoin, one of the top gainers. Haven't seen that one on the top gainer list for a while. Kaya, maybe? I don't know. It's 8.63%. I don't know anything about that one. Aave, 8% up. Render at 8% up. Virtuals Protocol, 7.5. Hyperliquid, almost 7. Pump.fun is up there. And is Jupiter with Sui right behind it. Nice to see Sui up there. And how about the 7-day? Pi at 30, almost 34%. Kite, 33%. Dex with an extra E in there. I don't know, 30%. OKB is at 28%. EtherFi, 16. Layer 0 at 14%. Sky, 13%. Render again at 12.83%. BitTensor, 11. And Chili's. Yoblox says, if HBAR Algorand just have burning mechanism, people will surely go for them. Yeah, well, that's how uncapping the supply could work. But the problem is a lot of people are locked into that narrative. It could functionally work, but people do not like. I've just seen it in the comments every time I make a video about it. There's a lot of people that just said, I'll be done with Algorand if they uncap supply. So they could still institute a burning mechanism, though. So that would be nice. Let's see, 24-hour down is MemeCore, Humanity Protocol, Midnight, Quant, Stable, Pippin, Uniswap, and AI NFT, I guess. I haven't even seen that, heard of that one. Toncoin and Filecoin. Tron just a little bit below. By the way, these are all, you know, most of these are under 1% down, so not the biggest deal in the world. How about the weekly? It's Pippin, the official Trump coin, sitting at $3. Isn't this like in $30, $40, maybe even $70 at one point? Just celebrity meme coins, just stay away from them. Always, always stay away from them. Midnight, 7.6 down. XDC Network down 7%. Where's Bobby Jonas at? I haven't seen him in a long time. He's a big XDC fan who would always be in my chat. And we'd argue back and forth between Algorand and XDC. And he probably would not like to be seeing it down 7% on the week. WorldCoin down 6.6. Filecoin 6. Canton, the new darling of the crypto space, down 6%. Near Protocol, 5% stable, 5%. And Polygon down 3% on the week, sitting just under 10 cents. So I always have to point out Algorand and HBAR, neither one is in the top 10 for losers or gainers. Just tends to be not that volatile, which is kind of interesting, surprisingly. I mean, obviously we think of it that way, but yeah, why don't we just look at those? Now that I go to Haystack, Algorand isn't really included in that. Algorand at 64 in the market cap. Remember that top five by 2025? Not happening. Still under 9 cents. Green Blue Algo says a lot of Algorand's problems would go away in the $1 to $2 price range, I think. I think a lot of people would be at least very happy and stop complaining. It does solve problems. And here's HBAR. By comparison, just under 10 cents. I believe having a better week and day. What was Algorand's? Yeah, well, Algorand's like 5% on the 24 hours, so that's pretty good. That's better than HBAR's, but HBAR is still leading in price despite being, you know, having five times the supply. And this is why I tell people, you know, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but it doesn't always matter. And the amount of supply out either doesn't matter. Like SWE has the exact same tokenomics in terms of 10 billion cap supply, same as Algorand. It's at almost a dollar. Performing better on the 24-hour and 7-day also, by the way. So the demand side and the usage side, and what I've seen is revenue as well, huge driver of price. And you just need it. Or at least I should say it's highly correlated. I'm not sure which drives which. I would assume it would be the revenue that's driving the price. But either way, they are correlated. By the way, the stream isn't going in and out, is it? Because I see my analytics, it'll be working, then it won't, then it'll be working. It's very strange. All right, well, this brings us to Haystack, sponsor of the show. And this is where you can, this is the screener, but this is a place where you can swap, stake, launch your own coin. One of the easiest, fastest way to, and lowest cost ways to trade in the Algorand ecosystem. We're big fans of them. Make sure to check them out. They're great. And these are some of the boosted coins they paid to be up here. And I like to see that because this Algorand one with the asterisk is hilarious. Someone created a whole meme coin around a comment from an Ethereum developer who was talking about Algorand, apparently didn't want to name it, maybe for the algorithms, so they put the asterisk in, and just having a field day with that ever since. But let's see, I don't know, let's see what's up on the 24-hour. Yeah, we got a whole bunch of like brand new projects. I like to kind of skip through some of these. One thing I kind of wish, you could keep it to like a top 100 so that you can kind of look at what's pumping without. Here's an old school one. Gunna is at 9% up on the day. Bank is going off. I thought that was kind of over with. That one's still up there. By the way, I ordered these for whatever reason, I ordered these by the 24-hour, and so it doesn't really seem to be in order exactly, but Nico is actually up 8.8%. That's interesting. And Vestige up 9%. So that's pretty good. And how about on the 7-day? You got something called Glitter Finance up 900%. Kamada up 239%. We're going to get into why. I found out why that's the case. So keep an eye out for that, because we will talk about, there's some news around that. Actually, Shosha is up 215%. This is a very old one as well. Shosha was around and promising a game way back when I first started making crypto Algorand videos, I should say, pretty early on in the channel. It wasn't originally a crypto channel. A little hint at the Frugal BC origin story. Yeah, most of these are ones Xfinity is back. Wow, 48%, huh, on the week. The Compex token went up 42%. Major news around that, they shut down a whole bunch of their protocols. There was a huge, I believe, a hack that happened with them. Something called Fry Inu. Alpha Arcade T, interesting. I don't know, we could look at 30-day. I think it's just going to be a lot of these like silly coins. Yeah, the reason I'm skipping over them, and I can't do the same with the Hedera stuff because I just don't know them well enough, but yeah, Choice Coin kind of came back 218% on the 30-day. Shosha and Kamada still up there again, like we talked about. Is Tether back? I didn't know about this. It's very strange. Sitting at 93 cents, so that's... I thought Tether had left, but, you know, I guess some of the coins might still be around, huh? That's interesting. Yeah, otherwise not really seeing a lot of ones that I would want to talk about. And then kind of looking at this, the ticker up here, like I said, we talked about Vestige. Kita up 6%. That's cool. IGA 6%. Pgold 5%. Voltcoin 5%. Coop 5%. Nova 4%. Liquid Hog, that's like a trading thing. How's that been doing? I kind of want to dive into this one a little bit. Yeah, it's been up lately. Overall, let's do a day. Oh, we can't do it. Oh, wait. Yeah, it's been kind of on a slow, steady decline, which happens with a lot of these ASAs. You have to be kind of careful. Now we're out of the year chart. Well, it had this huge candle, but if you take that away, remember the boot pattern? This is like kind of a overextended boot pattern. So you got to be really careful. Liquidity of 109,000. Volume 575. Problem is there's just not enough liquidity in Algorand in general, I think. Let's go to Saucer Swap. See what we got going on here. Yeah, like I said, HBAR 3.5% up on the daily. Looking at Sauce at 10%. Sauce is soaring. That's pretty good. A lot of green on this. A lot of green. Everything's pretty much in green. So we're going to look for some outliers. Bonzo. Didn't Bonzo just have a deal with Kraken? I can't keep up with some of these, to be honest. Exos at 10%. BSL at almost 6%. Dovu at almost 9%. That's pretty good. This is all on the daily. We don't get a weekly on Saucer. I hope they add that soon, but... Grelf is almost 5%. Gib is 5%. DaVinci 4%. Karate 3.5%. Everyday Algonaut in the chat. What is up? Welcome to the Frugal BC show. KBL at 4%. See, I'm skipping the derivative coins. Steam. I remember Steam had a huge loss the other day. Now it's up 8.5%. Mouth at almost 4%. HST 4.6. Bonzo just X Bonzo, sorry, under 4%. H Suite under about 2%, just under. MFM 4% up. Hashtree 3.8%. GC. I think that's from Gilbert Estates. I might have been saying that wrong this whole time. That one's at 4%. Lehman at 6.23%. Jeet 2.55%. Dino 5%, almost 6%. That's pretty good for that. Galaxy at 3.4%. That one is a platform for creators to help earn on chain, which is kind of neat. Dosa at 8.2%. Suit at 5%. We've got a lot of green. It's like almost all green. Corgi 3.6, Hurt 3.5, Dino Pack, 4.5%. I think that's a NFT project, isn't it? Carrot is 2.7%. And ooh, our stick bug is now 10%. Liquidity, $631. But hey, it's up. That's what matters right now. Almost 10% up. That's pretty good. And that is the charts for today. I'm going to start pulling up our Algorand news. Then we're going to get to our HBAR Hedera news. Got some videos to watch. Zach here says, yeah, the key for Algorand is price appreciation. Oh, I got a kitty in the background there. I don't know why he's doing that suddenly. Zach says, the key for Algorand is price appreciation. That brings in more investors, more money, more institutions, more transactions. Well, yeah. Price, that's kind of what we're looking for, man. Pretty much in all of crypto. It's kind of the how you get it is the kind of key factor there. All right, I guess we can get to our Algorand segment next. I assume people are watching. Every time I look over, sometimes it's working and sometimes it's not. I usually have my my studio pulled up on my laptop, sitting on a kind of next to my desk. So I really got three screens we're working on here. So let's get to the Algorand next. Many people thought Kamada on Algorand was dead, and for a while, it actually was. Now, it appears to be coming back, and we noticed this recently. We noticed the price of the coin suddenly started skyrocketing. No one had any idea why, but, well, now we know Kamada appears to be back online. And this is right from the Kamada team themselves. Kamada is back online. After a long downtime, all services are restored. If you have funds on the platform, you can withdraw now. We're also considering keeping things running. If there's enough demand, let us know. I would say I don't think people are going to go for it. You just can't rug like that. So Gully says, no thanks, move along. Gunna says, test. WB Nikita. And I'm giving the little side eye there. Someone says they tried and could not connect. Choice Coin says Comet is a great project. Good to see you keeping on. I think once you shut it down, I think that's it. I got to tell you, I think that's it. Welcome back and never leave again. Comet for life. So I don't know. Some people might use it. Nice to hear, bro, but still having issues with connecting. A lot of people giving like side eye kind of stuff. F yes. My laughing emoji said, boy, really kind of a mix. It's very interesting, a very big mix between yay, it's back, and oh, heck no. I have to say, sorry, Comedy team, I'm kind of in the heck no. Unless you give a good, solid explanation, and let's see, this is from a while ago, let's see if they gave much of a explanation. Most projects pretend their token isn't dead. We won't. Meta costs almost nothing, which means your entry price is unbeatable. I mean, what I will say, there's kind of a asymmetric upside possibility here. I'm not suggesting you should do it. I'm just saying, like, it is a possibility. You could make a small bet, which could turn into a decent amount of money, even if, it pumps a bit. You know, actually, if you did it a while ago, you know, it pumped like 200%. I don't know, but, you know, nothing I'd put, like, serious money into. They also say, good news, recovered every lost pool. The full list is live. Bad news, the site doesn't appreciate the extra weight. Fixed it, but we love your feedback before celebrating. Let's see, they fixed wallet connection, according to this. But the site might crash occasionally. I think I had gotten everything off myself. I'm not 100% sure, but I think I did. So make of it what you will. Kamada does appear to be back online. Definitely wouldn't blame people for being skeptical of that, however. And I thought this was interesting. Multisig Algorand accounts coming to Para Wallet. This is from MJ, Michael Jordan. longtime supporter of Algorand, now on the Algorand team, but he was a supporter for a long, long time before that. In fact, I met him personally in Dubai in 2022 at the Algorand conference. A wonderful human being, always very supportive. So he says, yeah, multi-sig Algorand accounts coming to Pero wallet. Create a shared wallet with you and three friends, then choose exactly how you want it to work. Need two of four people to approve a transaction, prefer three of four. When every member sign off, you set the rules. And yeah, there's situations where you would want this. I think this is a really cool, a cool idea, and it will be useful for some people. It's a pretty niche use. I think the average Algorand person probably isn't going to use this, but if you're in like a DAO and the DAO needs to all make a collective decision or something like that, or like if you're starting a company and you're using Algorand, so I can see this being a really useful tool to have. But like I said, for most people, it's probably like I don't think I will ever use it, maybe, but probably not. So, but it will be useful for some people for sure. I'm going to save this one about AI agents. We'll save that for the end. In case you are wondering, there are now 6 days left to claim the full folks airdrop. He was asking, you know, are you still holding? Did you sell or swap it for something else? By the way, it's kind of hard to find. If you go to the app page for folks, you can find it. It's hidden in the drop-down menu, so you have to do a little hunting to find it. But it is there. 6 days left if you qualified for that first one. I have to imagine most people who qualified for it went and got it. I did not qualify for the first round. I don't use folks very much. I'm going to keep an eye out for season two. Maybe there will be more I qualify for. I thought this one might be kind of fun to watch. Algorand CS, I think, Chief Strategy and Marketing Officer. Got to make sure we get that S in there. He's not just the marketing officer. He's also doing some strategy. He sat down with Cointelegraph to discuss the latest on Algorand. Now, it looks like this is X only. I tried to look for the podcast, like that I could just listen on audio, because I that's usually how I prefer to listen to those kind of podcasts. I don't really watch them typically. It doesn't appear to be out anywhere, which I think is kind of a miss on their part, if I'm being honest. But if you want to watch that, let's watch this segment. Let's see what he had to say about AI agents, because that's going to bleed into our next thing. So let's see. We got it on. Let's listen.
This is an interesting where we're heavily focused on, because when you think about this, when the world goes agentic and everybody has an agent, that there's billions of agents around there, and these agents are talking to each other, obviously, and they won't just talk, they'll exchange value. One agent will be specialized in this, another agent will be specialized in that. So they'll talk to each other and they'll exchange value. Then the question becomes, are they going to pay each other? And so obviously they're not going to use a credit card to pay each other 10 cents or 5 cents. That doesn't make any sense. They won't use traditional bank rails either, because they have to wait 2 days or 3 days for their 10 cent transaction to go through.
Keep that in mind too, because that's going to play into our next segment.
So these agents will need scale. They will need hyper, super low cost. They will need instant settlement. And the only payment rail that is able to provide that is a blockchain, and Algorand in particular, of course. But so I think that is an enormous opportunity for blockchains to really lean into. And so because of the characteristics of Algorand as a chain, and we talked about those, you know, the instant finality, the high speed, et cetera, we are particularly well suited for these types of micropayment transactions. And so therefore, we're very, very much leaning into this. Well, maybe you make the article available to them on a per use basis and you charge them 5 cents to do so. Now this is possible through using internet native payments and X402. So I think you think about LLMs, pay per token, think about compute, pay per compute, think about data, pay per data, et cetera. So there's a lot of opportunities around this kind of pay per use type of model where X402 now enables. And then if you combine that with scalable payment rails like Algorand, then you have a system that is really scalable and that can create massively new opportunities for all of the actors in the space.
Now, that's going to be very important going forward. And Everyday Algonaut, since your thing is germane, you say, by the way, in the EU, we have free instant payments and banks. Is this somehow different in the US? Absolutely. There's no such thing as instant payments for banks. I'm surprised the EU has that. That's pretty innovative. I would imagine the settlement is not instant. Unless they're operating on crypto rails, I don't see how the settlement could be instant. Now, keep our thing in mind that we just heard, keep what Mark just said in mind, because I came across this today and I thought it was compelling, but I have some qualms about it. Okay, so this guy named Ankash Gupta, actually, who is this? He's, I don't know who he is. Just lists a bunch of stuff about product growth. It says, Armstrong is telling you AI agents need crypto because they can't use banks. Nobody's noticing that Visa and MasterCard and Google, Stripe, and PayPal already built the answer. Well, we'll get to that. Visa completed hundreds of agent-initiated transactions and live pilots last year. MasterCard launched Agent Pay with tokenized credentials across U.S. issuers. Google shipped the entire agent payments protocol. Keep that in mind, too. Keep that in mind. Santander and MasterCard ran Europe's first regulated AI agent payment 2 weeks ago. Agents can't open bank accounts. Framing sounds clean, but it skips what's actually happening. Visa's trusted agent protocol uses cryptographic signatures to authenticate AI agents the same way it authenticates human cardholders. The agent gets a token linked to your account. No bank account needed for the agent. No KYC for the bot. The human already passed the gate. This tells you everything about how the payment industry views this race. Coinbase's X402 protocol has processed 50 million transactions since February, which sounds like scale until you realize Visa processes that volume roughly every 90 minutes. But does it do that via agents? According to this, I guess it does. Visa is working with 100 plus partners across 6 continents. MasterCard launched an entire agent suite in January with 4,000 advisors. These companies process 3.5 billion transactions annually, and they're retooling all of it for agents. So they're not necessarily doing that yet. Keep that in mind. The real constraint for AI agent payments is liability. When an agent books the wrong flight or buys the wrong size, who eats the cost? Visa's Ramachandran says it directly. Agents are now a fifth party in the dispute chain. Crypto has no dispute chain, no chargebacks, no customer protection. For a billion agents making mistakes at machine speed, that's a feature Coinbase and a problem for the person whose agent just bought 400 economy seats to Mumbai. Yeah, but the thing is, this is just going to happen at, if the payment protocol can just be settled with a new transaction. And in fact, the lack of reversibility is actually a feature of crypto. This is the part I'm going to make right here. So I actually think he's wrong about this. I think the liability is on the non-crypto side. And as far as reversing a transaction, that just gets done with a new transaction. So you don't have to have the original transaction undone. You just do a new transaction. The dispute would be held between companies. But I guess with a bad actor, that is potentially... Now, I thought this was potentially a potential issue. Now, I did think this was interesting because I've been talking about this AI agent narrative, essentially, and I see it as a very strong use case for crypto, and especially some of these low-fee, fast blockchains like Algorand, like Hedera. That's the reason why I introduced it in the Algorand segment, especially since we just had what we had from Mark Vandelberg from Algorand. All right, so let's go back through some of these. Here's the problem. What do you think Visa is going to charge for its agentic payments? What do you think MasterCard is going to charge? By the way, it's not really companies. They're more like, it's kind of really weird. They're more like a network than a company. So they're kind of weird to begin with. But how much are they going to charge and how much are they going to gatekeep past the gate? Well, the gate is a telling word there. Do you think Visa is going to let, do you want Visa and MasterCard deciding what your agent can go and can't do in that it can shut down your agents and maybe not someone else's? Or do you want the permissionlessness of crypto? Now, these are interesting because it's talking about how many transactions they're processing and retooling it for agents. Well, eventually, but that doesn't mean they're running. We don't know how much they're actually running. X402 protocol has processed 50 million transactions, agent-to-agent transactions. And there's nothing about how much Visa or MasterCard has done. And imagine what the fees are going to be. I just think that's where crypto is going to play a major role. I think probably what it's going to be, crypto, both of these things are going to exist in parallel. And some people are going to want the permissionlessness of crypto. They're going to want the lower fees and the speed. As far as settlements, Greenblue says it's instant but with a settlement window. Robin might cover your window, however. Yeah, and it kind of depends where the bank pump payment is going to. Like if I send money from PayPal to my bank, it doesn't go there instantly. On the bank side, it is definitely not instant. Some stuff like you said, Robinhood, and there's other platforms like that will cover the difference, but the settlement is definitely not instant, which is where I think Algorand will shine, because it's just going to settle instantly instead of having things sitting in limbo for a long time. So I probably didn't mention all the arguments I was thinking, but these are some of the ones where I think, let's see, crypto becomes a rail for agents, Visa, MasterCard are betting their entire product roadmap. Let's just read the whole thing. The incumbents aren't sleeping through this one. They're spending more, moving faster, and they already have the merchants. Crypto becomes a rail for agents. Visa and MasterCard are betting their entire product roadmap that it won't be the primary one. One other thing that he's talking about, this is I think a key thing. He's talking about merchants. This is a whole new realm of things to buy. Agents aren't, I mean, yeah, maybe agents are booking like travel, but they can just use your credit card for that. But what about agent to agent payments? What about an agent marketplace? What about buying skills for maybe your agents go out and buy skills, or maybe they buy access, like you said, buy access to some kind of article that helps them do what they do. There's a whole realm of possibilities that this person isn't including that I didn't even think about this morning. I just thought about that now. I didn't really pay attention to that last paragraph. So I think this is good stuff to keep in mind. I do think there will be a parallel systems. But this is very narrow-minded. This is very myopic. And he's not thinking about the world of possibilities that agentic commerce opens up. He's just thinking like traditional merchants. Okay, well, that was a weighty segment. And I got one little fun thing for you that I thought was kind of cool. There's a new game. Someone, Hey Co Algo, made it. It's called the Hay Bale Jump Challenge, and it's now live. Can you beat the high score? So I just want to show you guys this really quick. This is free to play. It is happy-hay-hop.base44.app. You can find it. I've gotten the 70, as you can see here, which is fun. And it's just a hay jumping game. I'm just going to show you a little bit of it. Seems really simple, and then it gets really fast. I'm not going to play too much of this, I promise. We'll get to the crypto news. You can see it's already getting a little faster. Eventually, they start like really whipping in there. So anyway, I don't think... Maybe there'll eventually be some prizes with this or something. I don't know. But that's that. I'm not going to make you sit through that whole thing. Shared by Balsacos Maximus, who was on our show, actually, a while back. Anyway, I think that's... we got some... Let's see. Agentic commerce is live and vibrant on Algo already. Algorand is heading higher, no doubt. Yeah, that's the thing. And then Rafa Ello says 2026 is the year of agents. I think this is going to be a huge unlock for a lot of cryptocurrencies, especially Algorand. Going back, Everyday Algonaut talking to Green Blue says instant, like in 10 seconds, you can use them. The EU is working on this for many years and it's live 2-3 years now. Restaurants now accept direct payments. Definitely not the case in the US. And the settlement takes a long time, and actually getting it over there also takes a every day says, have you tried the Explodinos game? I haven't even heard of that. Rafaello says, Algorand will be one of the main layers, highly beneficial to shift focus on agentic commerce now. I mean, anything that's fast and low fee, especially Algorand's one of them, for sure. They're building the rails. And like I said, he pointed out Google's payments. Well, Algorand is included in that. Did I mention that? Did I mention that in the segment? I don't know if I did. Where was that? Did it just disappear? Yeah, right here. Right here. Google shipped an entire agent payments protocol. Yes, and Algorand was a partner in that. So I think other cryptocurrency firms were as well. Not necessarily. I think Algorand was the only layer one, but there were other cryptocurrency companies involved, as I recall. So, you know, kind of defeats his argument there. Anyway, I think that's our Algorand segment. And I think agentic commerce is going to be a super important part of Algorand's future. So don't sleep on it. I do think I can see a situation where they're running in parallel. All right. Let's get to the next one. My analytics have been working lately. I can actually see how many people are watching. By the way, if you haven't hit the like button already, that is the best way to support the channel. Gets it out to, you know, everyone else on X. Actually, my X is doing really well. I got 82 viewers on X. Lately, I had more viewers on... Oh, there it goes. Never mind, it's gone. Lately I've been having more views on YouTube than X right now. Actually, I have quite a few on X. And not live on Kick or Twitch today because it just wasn't working correctly. And it's irritating because of the pop-up. The pop-up features, I wish it was disabled for logins. Brave needs to work on that, I think, in my opinion. But all right, bear with me on this HBAR one because I think I screwed this up. But just take me, I got to fix a couple things here. Okay, I know what I'm going to talk about, so let me get a drink of water. And we will get to our HBAR segment in just a second. Green Blue says, let's not forget the EU is going for CBDC. That's good for certain chains, but I also, like, it kind of freaks me out, you know? The opposite of permissionlessness. So about a year or two ago, one of the criticisms I had of Hedera is it didn't seem like it was getting used. When I would look at the TPS, it tended to be around the 1 to 2 range. Now, it looks like Hedera is actually starting to get used. Actually, what happened was it was actually higher, and then one of the companies that was putting stuff on chain or on DLT, distributed ledger technology, which I said wrong last time, apologize for that, decided not to do it anymore, and the TPS dropped to like 1 or 2. Well, it's back up, and it's back up quite a bit. Let's dive in. This is from Phil Fizz. I don't know him. Says Hedera transactions. Hedera mainnet is doing 1,215 TPS. I have not seen it that high before. That's pretty interesting. Says FedEx, is that you? Jay says it's fluctuating, but at least it's not 2 to 3 PS constantly anymore. Remember what I just said? It's alive. We need a consistent 4K TPS for a whole year for 100 million in fees. Right now, 537. I'm sure Algorand would like that too. 4K, they probably got a little ways to go to get the 4K, as does Algorand, but it is a surge, but still going. So... nice to see that actually moving up, and hopefully that can continue, because that's a really important thing for the more TPS, the more fees you have, the more fees, the stronger the chain, you know, the more revenue comes in, and that will lead to price appreciation. From what I've seen from watching doing the analysis on various cryptocurrencies. So This next one I thought was pretty cool, kind of old. Bonzo Finance, the largest lending protocol in Hedera, integrated with Chainlink Standard for verifiable data. This is back from February, so I'm a little behind on this one. Verifiable data, starting with price feeds for HBAR and USDC, Chainlink enhances the data security of Bonzo and accelerates growth of DeFi on Hedera. Thought that was worth pointing out. I think, like I said, it's a little bit of an old one, but a goodie. And here we got a video, so we can watch this video together. And this is Mance Harmon, the co-founder. I know we talk about Lehman Baird a lot, and yeah, you gotta like the guy. He looks like such a friendly accountant dude. Super duper duper smart. But actually, hold on. This is let me fix this size a little bit here. There we go. Let's see what Mance Harmon has to say.
Mance, you co-founded Hedera. Tell us about your vision and what's happening next.
When we created the company, we built it in such a way that we would be able to address sort of the full universe of potential use cases for blockchain. And we are getting clarity about what those initial use cases are that are going to drive mainstream adoption.
Funny choice of words there, considering we all are patiently waiting for the Clarity Act to come to fruition.
You are talking about distributed ledger technology versus more traditional blockchains. Just explain the difference and why your system is favorable in your opinion.
Technically, we're not a blockchain network. We are a hashgraph network. Hashgraph solves the same category of problems as blockchain, but it does it in a far more secure and efficient and performant way. But then we're also very different in another important way, maybe even more important, and that's the governance of the network. Most of the public networks today, the public blockchain networks, allow anybody to run a node in the network. These are the organizations or people that are validating the transactions on the network, and they can be anonymous. We took a very different approach. We have more than 30 global Fortune 500 equivalent organizations.
By the way, this is frequently cited as a criticism of Hedera, and I can kind of understand it in some degree. You know, you got a very select group of people running it. Now he kind of put anonymous as a negative. I think it's actually a positive in some ways, but here's what I've been saying about Hedera for a long time. Let's say you're the CFO of, you know, XYZ Fortune 500 company, and your boss says, "Hey, we want to start building, you know, cryptocurrency technologies. We want to start using the blockchain. I know it's not a blockchain, but you know, bear with me." Lack of a general term, we want a digital ledger, basically. We want to start using this. And you're the CFO. You got to keep your board happy. You got to keep the CEO happy. You want shareholders to be happy. And you go looking around and you find, oh, Hedera has Google on its governing council. It's got IBM. It's got FedEx now, Deutsche Telekom. It's got Dell. Did I mention Dell? BitGo. I don't know about BitGo. Ubisoft. You know, these are all like household names. These are major companies. LG. These are major companies. And which one are you going to choose? Why would you not go with the one that has all these, you know, this endorsement from these major tech companies and not tech companies like FedEx? You could argue, given the logistics challenges that FedEx faces, that maybe in some ways it is a tech company, but these are big names in industry. I mean, you want to protect your butt, you're going to go with the one that sounds very professional. I mean, hands down, like there's a reason why they're getting so much enterprise adoption, and these companies obviously believe in it. So I think it's kind of a feature and a bug, to be honest.
We know them by name, and they're trustworthy organizations.
Exactly.
Google, Dell, Deutsche Telekom, Shinhan Bank out of Korea, and Standard Bank out of South Africa. Mm-hmm. They decide how the network is going to evolve over time, and they ensure the network gets built and operated in such a way that use cases that they care about, products and services that they are going to end up building on top of Hedera, will be serviced well by the network that they govern.
Trust is an issue that some people still grapple with and are still very quizzical about. What is the trust problem that Hedera is trying to solve?
There were a number of problems. The first one had to do with the technology. The technology Hashgraph, it's not blockchain. It is a fundamental advance in the state of the art that makes it possible for us to achieve the theoretical limits of what can be achieved in terms of security in consensus algorithms. And there are limits of what you can do in terms of security. Hashgraph achieves the maximum of what can be achieved, and it remains solidly performant. So we create trust in the technology by eliminating ways in which the technology can be attacked.
By the way, speaking of trust, I mean, I know this is really aesthetic and might sound kind of silly and non-technical, but look at the appearance of the founders. These don't look like tech. These don't look like crypto bros, you know? I think that's another key element. And you might think this stuff sounds silly, but when you're dealing with major companies, stuff like that matters, you know? They're not dealing with a Vitalik Buterin who looks like he's coding in his mom's basement. You know, this guy looks like a bank president, and Lehman looks like a friendly accountant. Like, you know, these are, if you're an enterprise client, that's who you're going to trust, right? Now, I'm not saying it's the only factor, and I'm not even saying that people would think that consciously, but for sure, this is stuff people are going to think about. It's going to be a factor for sure. I know it sounds silly, but trust me, just like politics, I mean, you can have the best ideas, but you know, how someone looks makes a difference. You can pretend it's not the case, but it is the case. And I think when you look like these guys, you project trust. Because like I said, the guy looks like he's a bank president. You know, he looks like a serious guy. Doesn't look like some crypto bro. And neither does Lehman. So you can pretend that stuff doesn't matter, but it absolutely does. By the way, this is a conversation with CNBC.
Let's look at the next 3 to 5 years. What does that look like for Hedera?
I think that for Hedera, success is defined by two words, invisible ubiquity. And what I mean by that is that it's going to be at the bottom of this new technology stack that enables Web3 that everyone will use and no one will have heard of.
This is really funny too, because this is what I've been saying about Algorand, and Algorand and Hedera have been saying this both for the longest time, that they're kind of the boring but important chains. In other words, they do the important stuff in the background and you don't necessarily see it, but you know, it's doing the work, and the more work it does, the more fees it generates, the more transactions, the more fees, and probably the better price it does. So you don't necessarily need this big splashy meme coin style hype around it. You can just do the work and collect your fees and grow. And I think what his thing, invisible ubiquity, I think is probably a way better way to put it than the way I was saying it. So, but I think it's interesting that we kind of had the same idea.
That's what I mean by invisible ubiquity. That's success for Hedera.
Yeah, fire interview, great. It's actually a much longer interview. We found this little clip, which I think says a lot. I think it's great. So good clip from them. Good job, Mance Harmon, for sharing the vision. Absolutely. So speaking of governing council members, which you just mentioned, FedEx is the newest governing council member, and an interesting one because, like I said, not really a traditional tech company. Now, of course, FedEx, like I said, FedEx, you could almost think of it as a tech company because the logistics that they solve requires a lot of technical skill. But I want to hear what Rob Allen of Hashgraphs have to say. He says, it sounds like FedEx will be onboarding all their competitors to Hedera.
FedEx joined the council specifically to pursue these use cases that they've been working on through the GBBC and previously the Transport Association that Dale chaired the standards body on. So that thinking has happened over many years, unlike most council members, actually. So years ago, we'd have got a council member that hadn't even thought about blockchain, and we had to help them through all that ideation. But with FedEx, they've done all the thinking. They've built the standards body. They've defined the standards. They've determined that they're not going to go alone, and they need an industry, you know, sort of cooperation and collaboration with all their competitors in order to make this work, because it's an ecosystem play. It's not, you know, a specific competition role. So they are well prepared, right? And we're ready for them. FedEx joined the council.
I think that's really interesting, the fact that they were just basically ready to go, and that they're going to be dragging the rest of their competitors to Hedera as well. Basically, they thought about all this. They put the infrastructure in place, ready to go from day one. Much easier to work with, I believe. And I think it'll be interesting, because imagine, I think what a perfect use case for the DLT is something with the logistics of FedEx. And they didn't come in going, yeah, figure it out for us. They already had the basics figured out. They knew what they wanted from it. Very, very interesting. I think FedEx will be one of the big wins for the Hedera ecosystem for sure. All right. That is all for our Hedera segment. Zach Valavanis says, my hope is TravelX ends up back on Algorand after the Clarity Act passes. We'll see, because it kind of depends. It wasn't TravelX, it was the airlines that they work with just fundamentally weren't interested in the blockchain. Now, we don't know why. So is it just a lack of regulatory clarity, or they just not like the idea? I mean, here's the thing. One of the problems that their NFT tickets were supposed to solve is that you could resell the tickets. And they did, it's possible they just simply weren't interested in that. I mean, this is the thing. Like, you know, I had this talk with DZ when it came to Web3 games. We were talking about how I thought NFTs, when I first got into crypto and I started learning about NFTs, I thought, well, games are like the perfect use case for NFTs. You're buying these assets online. You want to verify that, you know, you have one and it's unique and that you can sell it to other people. I thought that's great. And then DZ, when he came on my show, pointed out, well, why on earth would they want to do that? They're making the money off of selling you new items. Why would they want to, why would they want to give you the ability to sell it to someone? They want to be able to sell that thing to someone. You know, it's like you don't go to Kmart. No one goes to Kmart anymore. You don't go to Target and they have like, they don't have like other people's used stuff for you to buy, because like why would they do that? They want to sell you a brand new toaster. They don't want you to buy a used toaster. Same with the game companies. And then, you know, what happened with the Web3 native games, most of them tended to be kind of, I don't want to say scams exactly, but it was kind of cart before the horse. Like, let's sell these really expensive NFTs. And I'll point out Gala, because I've criticized Gala on this numbers of times, you know, so many times, because they would sell these super expensive NFTs for games that aren't even out yet. They'd sell them before there was even a beta game. Then they would launch a beta game and it would just never leave beta, because, like, frankly, what's the incentive? They've already sold you the NFTs and they're selling you more NFTs and people keep buying them. I learned my lesson with Townstar. I bought, and that was when the game was live and was still technically beta. It still technically has never left beta as far as I know. Currently shut down, by the way, not even operating any of their competitions. So I bought this NFT so I could earn, thinking like, well, it'll pay for itself in the town coin that it's earning. And, you know, here's the thing. The feature of the NFTs is supposed to be that they're immutable. And that's great, but you know what? They can just nerf it in the game. So it really doesn't matter. They can just, and that's what happened, like, right? Like, they just said, oh yeah, nothing earns anymore. There is no earn. So they can instantly just shut it off. Anyway, they can make your NFT worthless. And here's the thing, you know, the other thing was, oh, well, with NFTs, you could take that NFT to a new game that allows it. Well, that runs into the same problem. If I'm, you know, a game developer and I made a game, I want to sell you new assets so I can earn money from that. I don't want you to use this old one. If everyone can just bring their old NFTs, I don't have anything to sell, right? I think a lot of people just don't think about the economics of this. So yeah, I would say NFTs and games are probably the thing I was the most bullish on that I completely changed my mind on. I did a big 180. Wow, 100 views on, or 100 viewers right now on X. That's very interesting. Way more than YouTube, but hey, if you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching on X, hit the like button, little heart button, favorite button, I don't know what they call it now. And do hit that like button on YouTube as well. It helps the algorithms, as they say. Going back. Oh, actually, I think they must have deleted their comment. Someone said something about HBAR. Oh, here we go. Way back. William said, hi, please, does HBAR price reflect all Hedera traffic or just HBAR token? If you're talking about the price, that is the price of the token. That's different than like volume or liquidity, I guess. If that's what you mean, I don't really know what that question means exactly. Usually volume is tied to token price, especially like fees. Like I said, generally, it might actually be volume. Actually, volume might be more the metric than revenue, but revenue is a function of volume. Something to think about. But what I saw is like there's a big correlation between revenue for a chain and, you know, its price appreciation. Greenblue says the folks rewards via NFT is ongoing. Well, that's good. For the handful of people that got that one, that's great. All right. Well, I've kind of run out of stuff, and it looks like we're dropping in viewership anyway. So thanks so much for watching, everyone. Hope everyone has a great day, and be sure to, you know, you can watch this on replay. Like I said, we are usually, this one is on live, is on X and on YouTube, will be available for replay in both those places. And you can listen on audio, listen on the go by searching the Frugal BC podcast. You can find Frugal BC on Apple, on Spotify, and probably pretty much everywhere else where you get your podcasts. DJ Graffiti says Algo is a wash. It has done nothing. Well, as far as price, yeah, it hasn't been great. Not going to lie to you. I still think the tech is great. I think it's well set up for agentic commerce, and hopefully that will help unlock some volume, some revenue, which should unlock price, but no guarantees. Definitely. All right. Yep. Well, thanks for tuning in, everyone. I hope you had a great, I think we had a great